and Frédéric Chopin as Composers of the Week, weekdays at 12 noon and 6:30.
And that's starting tomorrow. This is BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Jonathan Swain presents Music Through the Night from 12:30, beginning with Poulenc and Debussy. But now at 11, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, an interview with vibraphone virtuoso Joe Locke in advance of his UK shows.
Sometimes music can take people out of the darkness, and sometimes, for me, playing music can take me out of my own darkness.
Joe Locke. Well, we've also got part two of the Green Seagull Suite by band leader Tommy Evans and his orchestra from his set recorded at the Scarborough Jazz Festival. Tommy Evans. Plus, I'm joined by Kevin Legendre. He's here with another jazz classic plucked from the vaults as part of our regular Now's the Time feature. And Kevin, what have you unearthed for us this month?
It is Working Weeks, Working Nights from 1985. Probably a record that you used to dance to back then.
Absolutely, vertently or inadvertently.
And it's a key chapter in British jazz from the period.
Let's hear a little clip. Working Week and No Cure, No Pay, and we'll hear more from that in our Now's the Time feature later on with Kevin Legendre. First up, a brand new release out tomorrow on the Cardiff-based Edition label, and it's the music of Phrenesis pianist Ivo Neem. Neem is one of Britain's most accomplished young players and composers, and it's great to hear him in this extended environment, continuing the joyful energy and playful time signature expression with his own music. Supported as ever by Jasper Hoiby on acoustic bass, the album is called Yatra, and we're about to hear the title track, which features a strong tenor solo from Tory Freestone, and Dave Hamblett interacts with great verve on drums. This is Yatra. Thank you. The gifted writing of Ivo Neem and Yatra, the title track of his new album, out on the Edition label. And the tenor action was provided by Tori Freestone. John Shendy featured in the melody on clarinet. And there's further woodwind support from a very impressive band, which includes Jason Yard on alto and new generation jazz artist Shabaka Hutchings on bass clarinet. Jim Hart plays vibes, Dave Hamblett drums, and the brilliant Jasper Hoiby on acoustic bass. The music on this album is very engaging, thoughtful and well-constructed, and Ivo has dates coming up in October with his quintet, and they'll be playing at the Brighton Jazz Club on the 12th, Greenham Arts Centre in Newbury on the 18th, and for more information and details on other performances, check out the Jazz Lineup webpage. Next month, vocalist Georgia Mancio curates another series of the Revoice Festival, which takes place at Soho's Pizza Express in London from the 12th to the 18th and continues on at the Union Chapel on the 19th and 20th. There's a host of well-chosen vocalists, including Gregory Porter, Leanne Carroll, and the phenomenal Raoul Maidon in what looks like an unmissable festival. Jazz Lineup will be there to record Georgia with John Paricelli plus the Jamie Davis Quintet on Sunday the 14th of October. The evening is in two parts, the first with Georgia and special guest guitarist John Paricelli, and the second is Georgia's presentation of international vocalist Jamie Davis and his quintet, which comprises stalwart jazz musicians from the British scene. Jamie is of course on voice, Alex Garnett is on saxophone, Leon Greening is on piano, Malcolm Crease is on the bass, and Steve Brown plays the drums. So, to get you in the mood for the festival, something plucked from the BBC Library from Georgia herself and a recording from her 2003 album Peaceful Place. This is her take on the Nat Adderley Curtis Lewis classic Old Country, opening with the walking bass line of Andy Kleindert.
By the lonesome road, it's about time you're quitting life's old tiresome load. You're so sad and lonely, got no family, just some old man from some old country. You inside no children, ain't none by your side. You left all your women, ain't you satisfied? Don't just sit there clinging to a memory of some love left in some country. Nobody need you, old man, 'cause nobody knows your name. Nobody even whispers, what a doggone shame. So the cold, grim reaper has no sympathy. You won't see your homeland except through. You won't see your homeland except through me. You won't see your homeland except through me.
vocalist Georgia Mancio and the heavily featured bass of Andy Kleindert. That was Old Country from her 2003 album Peaceful Place. And we'll hear more from Georgia and the Revoice Festival when she joins us on next week's Jazz Lineup. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well as jazz on Radio 3, remember there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves, all available via the BBC iPlayer. And on tomorrow night's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson, there's music from British pianist Alexander Hawkins in session with his sextet. Welcome, Jez. Before we talk a little bit about Alexander Hawkins and his sextet, let's talk about some of the other things that you're involved in. I know that you're going to be learning the piano.
Well, the way I like to think of it is somebody's going to be teaching me piano, but whether I'll be learning, I'm not sure. And that person is actually Alexander Hawkins, who we're going to hear from in a moment. It's slightly daunting, I have to say, because he's an amazing piano player and someone who sort of understands this music so much. So I'm slightly scared, but he's also a nice guy, so I'm hoping he'll treat me gently. And it's part of this whole BBC piano season. There's a presenter from every BBC network learning, and it's me for Radio 3. I've got 6 weeks to learn, Julian, so what would you suggest that I do in 6 weeks?
I'd say be diligent about practicing your scales.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep it simple. Don't be afraid of playing things slowly. Be patient, and also don't worry if you're not practicing hours and hours a day. If you at least do maybe 3 slots of 10 minutes, it will help you. Okay.
I've chosen to play it. You know, Thelonious Monk, Mysterioso.
Oh, wow.
Which I love that tune. But I'm kidding myself, but I think of it as being a fairly simple tune, and it's nice and slow. So I thought maybe, you know, that's a good way in. What do you think?
I'll say this, that nothing Monk does is simple.
No, that's
And, you know, having studied Monk and studied Oscar Peterson, I found it more difficult to learn Monk than Oscar Peterson.
Okay.
So
you're not making me feel any better.
And I was reluctant to say that, but
that's what I need, honesty. It's not too late to change.
But you'll be fine. I think you just be regular. If you keep the regularity, after a week you'll see some improvement.
Okay.
Okay, and then it'll taper off, but don't lose faith.
I'll report back.
Please do. I'll be looking forward to hearing you. Okay, so also the Roller Trio have been nominated for a Mercury Prize.
Yeah, I'm delighted actually, because the last time I was a guest on your show, we played a track from the Roller Trio. Mm. I just heard them the night before at this special gig in Manchester. BBC introducing band, you know, a bunch of young guys from Leeds, and I was very excited about them that night. And there you go, they are this year's Mercury Prize jazz nomination. So it's really good. Well, you know, well deserved. They'll get a bit of kind of recognition. They'll sell a few more records. And there'll be some jazz on TV, if only for one night only.
Yeah, for about 4 seconds.
That's right.
But hey, a good 4 seconds.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Let's stay positive. Well, it's all about Alexander Hawkins now, and you're going to play a track for us. Tell us a little bit about that track and just introduce it for us before we hear it.
Okay, this is called Listen Glow, and listen out for Otto Fischer, who Alex says is one of his favourite musicians in the world. In fact, he said the other day that if a promoter said to him, you can have any guitarist on a gig with you, like, he might sort of think for a moment about perhaps having James Blood Ormer or Bill Frisell, but in the end he would come back to Otto because he believes Otto really understands his musical language and is a guitarist incapable of cliché. So listen out for Otto on this track, Listen Glow.
Thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
British pianist Alexander Hawkins, and that's a taster for tomorrow night's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson at 11 p.m. on BBC Radio 3. My thanks to Jez, and more news about Radio 3's piano season. Jazz lineup present John Taylor in concert to celebrate his 70th birthday. He appears with his quartet, John Taylor on piano, Julian Siegel on saxes and bass clarinet, Chris Lawrence on bass, and Martin France on drums. There's special guest Oren Marshall on tuba, who duets with Richard Fairhurst on the piano. That will be introduced by Claire Martin and recorded at the BBC's Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House on Saturday, the 20th of October. Tickets are available via the BBC Ticket website. Check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage. Now time for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time with Kevin Legendre. Welcome back, Kevin. We're dealing with Working Week and the album Working Nights. What's so special about this record?
For me, it's a great example of different scenes in jazz and pop coming together in the 80s. Mm-hmm. If you think about the fact that the group itself, Simon Booth on guitar, Larry Stabbins on saxophones, and Juliet Roberts on vocals, and then around them, you've got this stellar cast of musicians. Great jazz musicians, both from the past and the present, back in the 80s, young players as well as older players. Harry Beckett, Annie Whitehead, Chris Biscoe, Guy Barker, Ray Worley. That's the horn section, just a few members of the horn section. And then you've got on percussion, Bosco D'Oliveira, Dawson Miller, bass, Ernest Mothley, drums, Nick France, Louis Maholo. That cast list is really, really stellar. So I think when you listen to the album and you hear the quality of the playing and the quality of the orchestrations, it's no surprise because they've really tapped into the cream of the crop as far as the players go.
Well, let's have a listen to a soul classic, Inner City Blues.
Thank you. working all night and I've been working all week, and I don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. The people I meet on these London streets, they say you gotta get hit with a brand new beat. It's a moonshine, it's a hard time, it's a rhythm in resistance, with a storyline of a better time that's coming soon. If you face the fact that you gotta fight back with a smile on your face and hope in your soul, it's a moonshine, it's a hard time, it's a rhythm in resistance. So you face the fact that you gotta fight back, it's the moonshine, it's the hard time, it's the inner city blues.
Inner City Blues from Working Week, and that featured the vocals of Juliet Roberts on that Marvin Gaye classic. Great bass line there played by Chucho Merchan. And the strings were arranged there by Chris Ingman, and does a great job there. And it's the popular music of the day.
Yeah, Inner City Blues, one of Marvin's seminal tracks, done with a very strong jazz sensibility, with those beautiful orchestrations. I particularly like the horns. And then on other tracks in the album, you really hear, I think the Latin influence as well was very, very strong for Working Week. So I mentioned Bosco de Oliveira, this great percussionist from Brazil. Also Dawson Miller, the other member of the percussion section. They added a lot to the group.
Well, that's what we're going for next with No Cure, No Pay. So let's just talk a little bit about that, because they play the melody and then it does become this great extension, this excursion for the soloists.
Yeah, and the other obvious thing to say is that it's a great instrumental track on what is predominantly a vocal album. Mm-hmm. The other thing that is important to mention is the fact that Working Week, although they were very song-based and Juliet, as a great vocalist, was a key member of the group, they did great instrumental music. And one of the great tracks that they did live, which unfortunately didn't make it to this album, was a version of Tania Maria's Yatratá, which is a really, really intricate piece of Brazilian jazz. And I think that those very, very tricky, challenging arrangements of instrumental tracks was something that they really specialized in, again, because they had great personnel and had great arrangements too.
It was all about fusion, bringing different sounds, different styles together, and not being so self-conscious about it. I think throughout the 80s, jazz sort of separated itself and got back to the roots, which it needed to do, because the instrumental skill and the level of soloing needed to get better. There's some really strong solos on this track, and particularly Annie Whitehead.
Great trombonist who was also doing great things with her own group at the time. But what I remember about Working Week from actually buying the records as a kid back in the 80s was that we used to dance to this. Whether it was instrumental or vocal, you'd buy these records, and the first track that they released, Venceremos, was this 12-inch thing, which we all went mad to on a dance floor. And the vital part of the story is the fact that Working Week, they came out of this other group called Weekend, and they were inspired by the support that the group Weekend had from two of the seminal jazz DJs around at the time in the 80s, George Powers and Paul Murphy, who were playing at this legendary club, the Electric Ballroom in Camden. And it was the jazz dance scene led by people like IDJ and Jerry Barry, which inspired Working Week to go in that kind of heavier jazz dance direction. So for me, it was as much dance music as anything else.
Well, I remember everyone danced to everything in those days. But it really is dance music. It's pop music. We're going to listen to No Cure, No Pay, and it features solos from Paul Spong on the trumpet, Kim Burton on piano, and the great Annie Whitehead on trombone. Thank you. Working Week, No Cure, No Pay, featuring a standout solo from Annie Whitehead. Paul Spong played the trumpet. Kim Burton played the piano solo. A very, very Latin-tinged, not even tinged, as Latin
music.
Mm-hmm. Now, we go to a vocal feature to finish off, and this is a tune called I Thought I'd Never See You Again, and it sort of places itself in this medium tempo Latin cool vibe, especially towards the end. It sort of goes into this Latin explosion. Guy Barker takes a solo, then there's a conversation between him and Kim on the piano, and that then launches Guy into more excursion.
That was always the really clever thing about Working Week, is that they wrote songs which had great choruses, strong melodies, but inevitably they also had a lot of improvisation, interludes. Just when you thought the song was going to end, it would go off in another direction. As I say, that very first track, the kind of breakout track that they did, Venceremos, which I think on a 12-inch single is about 10 minutes long. It's epic. So they were obviously into the idea, not just of writing a tune, but writing a proper arrangement. And that's really where they came into their own, is that they had these great songs that turned into great arrangements. And I think this is a perfect example of it. And I also really, really like both the lyrics and that kind of melancholy, very evocative atmosphere that they created on this track. You know, hot days, drinking wine in the sun. It's kind of a story about lost love. I thought I'd never see you again. A very impassioned piece of music.
And then it's supported by the instrumental.
Yeah.
And there's space. There's space for it.
Yeah, and a magnificent vocal performance from Juliet Roberts as well.
Who's one of my favourite singers. I've always enjoyed her vocalising, her singing. And I think we should hear this. This is the final of our three features from this great album, Working Nights by Working Week. This is I Thought I'd Never See You Again.
Then you
The featured vocals of Juliet Roberts, and I Thought I'd Never See You Again, a little gem from the UK's pop jazz scene, morphing into an energetic Latin outbreak with Guy Barker on trumpet and Kim Burton feeding off each other before Guy lets rip. That's from the album Working Nights by Working Week. And thank you, Kevin, that's for bringing that back.
It stands up really well, doesn't it? I don't think it's aged at all. To me, it still sounds very fresh. I think it stands up really well, considering that was recorded in 1985.
So long ago.
So, such a long time ago when I was a kid on the dance floor. To me, it still sounds very contemporary. And that's part of a scene that's no longer there, really. People doing great, great popular music, but also with a very, very strong jazz sensibility, where you've got these serious musicians doing great orchestrations, great songs that go somewhere. It's of its time. It's very special.
It's a shame they didn't stick around and develop into...
Well, they recorded, I think, two other albums. They had a few changes of personnel. I think probably their lineup, these two guys and a girl singer doing ambitious music, was probably difficult for the music industry, to be quite honest. I'm not entirely sure that the music industry ever really got them. You know, as much as we get them, listening to people who enjoy music, it's challenging music as well as being popular music.
Well, the songs have to be strong, I guess, and I think you have to stay within those elements that really draw a mass audience. And I think this album had it in particular.
But also, if you think about it, you know, that they weren't thinking in terms of 3-minute pop songs. Working Week wanted to do 8 and 10 minute arrangements, which is what I love about them. So I think they're always going to be problematic for a record company.
One always does radio edits, Kevin.
Yeah.
I can tell you from experience. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's not an obvious thing for one to see. But anyway, they put down a very powerful album that I think is going to stand the test of time.
It certainly has.
Great. Well, thank you, Kevin. We're going to move on now to a piece of music that is called the Green Seagull Suite, and it features the writing of Tommy Evans and his orchestra. And this was, we played this a few weeks ago on Jazz Lineup. We played part one of the concert, and we're about to play part two, but you were actually there. So tell us your impressions.
What I remember very clearly is that it was a very atmospheric piece with lots of quite muted, subtle sounds. I like the wordless vocal, that stood out for me. That was used quite prominently. I think it reminded me a little bit of kind of soundtrack music, maybe the influence of the cinematic orchestra or John Barry, those kind of people. The whole thing was very, very atmospheric and with lots of strong moods, strong shifting moods. Everybody was drawn into the music. The whole thing was pretty moving. It was quite intense.
Well, we're going to play part two of that concert. And thank you, Kevin Legendre, for joining us and telling us about Working Week and also about your experience with Tommy Evans.
My pleasure, as always.
This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. Well, we spoke about Tommy Evans with Kevin, and a few weeks ago we played you highlights from the first set of Evans's Green Seagull Suite. Inspiration came from the life of his uncle, David Partridge, and the composition is a journey in philosophy and ideology through the events of Partridge's life. Tommy Evans recently emerged onto the scene as a drummer and bandleader. Evans Orchestra is a 12-piece big band with 9 instrumentalists and 3 vocalists. The instrumentalists are Matt Roberts and Simon Bedow on trumpet and flugelhorn. Russell Henderson is on alto and tenor saxophones. Simon Kaler is on flute, soprano, and tenor saxophones. Rob Mitchell is on tenor and baritone saxophones. Nick Tyson is on guitar. Jameel Sheriff is on piano. Dave Kane is on bass, and Chris Wright on the drums. The vocalists are Carrie Nergard-Blevick, Ruby Wood, and Anna Stott. Recorded at the Scarborough Jazz Festival at the Spa Grand Hall on Sunday the 25th of September last year, here is the Tommy Evans Orchestra with part two of his Green Seagull Suite, and they start with Acceptance. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Tommy Evans Orchestra and Daffodils from part two of the Green Seagull Suite, recorded at last year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. And Jazz Lineup will be out and about at this year's 10th anniversary celebrations at Scarborough Jazz Festival, as well as recording a special edition of the show with Claire Martin, featuring the Peter James Trio, Gareth Williams and Dave Green, and Alan Barnes. Ticket information is available via the link on the Jazz Lineup page. And recently announced, this year's London Jazz Festival, in association with BBC Radio 3, will include a performance of Tommy Evans's Green Seagull Suite at the Barbican Free Stage at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday the 17th of November as a free event. And Jazz Lineup will be recording plenty of concerts, including some big names, Chick Corea, Kurt Elling and Sheila Jordan, plus a very special memorial concert in tribute to the UK big band leader Graham Collier. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, online, on FM and on digital radio. Next up, my colleague Claire Martin was lucky enough to catch up with American vibraphonist Joe Locke recently, in anticipation of his UK shows next month. But before the interview, let's hear Joe in action from his latest CD with the title track, in collaboration with pianist Jeffrey Keyser. This is Signing.
the track signing the title from the brand new release by the Joe Locke, Geoffrey Keyser Group. And that featured Joe, of course, on vibes, Geoffrey on keyboards, Terry Ongully on drums, and Mike Pope on bass. And I'm very pleased to say that down the line from New York, I'm joined by Joe Locke to talk about this new project. Joe, hello.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Claire.
What a fantastic album. You must be absolutely thrilled and very proud of this.
I'm extremely proud of this record, Claire. As you know, I have a great friendship with Geoffrey Keyser. Mm. And, you know, I consider every time I get a chance to play with him a huge gift. And just over the years, he's just gotten better and better and better. And he deepens as a musician and just every aspect of his playing. And this is my dream band. What can I say?
Yeah, I was going to say, you said this group really defines who you are musically. This is the one for you, is it? This is the band that you love. Is that because of the writing you do for it, perhaps, as well as the synergy?
I think it's just because of the fact that we're able to do whatever we want to do, whatever we want to express. That's a lot. I mean, your experience as a musician too, Claire, of doing stuff for certain labels or doing things where you only get a chance to express one aspect of your musical personality. Mm. You know, someone wants you to make a very straight-ahead jazz record, or someone wants you to make a record of pop tunes, or someone wants you to make a record of this. And we're able, with this band and with the companies we've been working with, that we're able to do whatever we want to do.
And fabulous.
And that's what's happening with this record. You know, all the guys in this band, Mike Pope, Terry Ongully, Keyser, and myself, we all like to play straight ahead jazz. We all like to swing. We have a history and tradition of doing that. But this particular record has no straight ahead jazz on it. It's all stuff that's influenced by drum and bass and by R&B grooves and by, you know, contemporary composition and stuff like that. But we just got done with a tour on the West Coast, and the nice thing is that we can throw some straight ahead and swing out on some tunes which aren't represented on this record. Mm. But in concert, we want to swing out. We can do that as well as play more contemporary stuff.
Let's talk through the great chemistry with the musicians, because I know you met up and you hadn't played for a while. So it was almost like this was a lot of the takes are first takes, aren't they? I mean, that must have been hugely exciting. I think you just talked it through. I mean, that's quite daring.
Well, no, it just says a lot about the musicianship of the guys.
I mean,
We did a record, and I forget what year it was, Claire, 2005, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, an album called Live in Seattle. Mm-hmm. We all flew in from different points, parts of the U.S. I recall that all of us had maybe an hour and a half sleep the night before. And Terrion and Mike, I think, had been on the East Coast with David Sanborn, and I had been somewhere else. And we basically had an hour rehearsal and played the gig, and it was just a wonderful experience, and it was a great concert, and we did, you know, that was the beginning of this band as it exists now. And we went our separate ways and got together to make this record, and just as fate would have it, even though it wasn't a live concert, it was in the studio, we came together and started recording and going over the music the first day.
Mm. Had you had a bit more sleep that time, though?
We had a bit more sleep. It was, that concert in Seattle was really sticky. But, I mean, the musicianship of the guys is so great. I remember with this record, I sent music to the guys and thinking we were going to start to take it apart and figure it out and do several takes and, you know, put it together. And we did the first take of the first tune, and it was done.
But let's just talk about the title, because I was very interested in reading your liner notes. People that download music, I can't read these liner notes, which I think is a downside of downloading. But your mother was she taught the deaf and was a signer. Tell me the story behind that.
The interesting thing, why it's called signing, is that I think we're all throwing signs at each other all the time, trying to make a connection with each other. And the connection on another level is that my mother was a teacher of the deaf. Mm. And when my father passed away, she moved into an apartment building, and she would walk through the lobby every day to go outside to get some fresh air. And she noticed a man sitting there by himself and completely alone. And after a few days, she realized he was blind. And after a few more days, she realized he was blind deaf. And she walked over to him, and she put his hand on top of hers, and she signed, "My name is Mary," into his palm. As it turned out, he had been deaf from birth, but he hadn't been blind from birth, and he knew International Sign Language. When she signed her name into his hand, as he would tell me later, his world opened up, and the wall came down. He'd been disconnected from people for years and years and years, and her signing into his hand opened the world up. And for her, she told me later, which I thought was really profound, she said to me before she died, she said, "When I met George on that day, I never understood why I'd been a teacher of the deaf when I was a younger woman, and I had left it after I met your father, never to go back to teaching, and it always bothered me. But when I met George and signed it into his hand, she said the reason for my life came full circle.
Oh, that's terrific.
I think that's a profound example of making a connection.
Yes.
But I think sometimes when we share our humanity through music, we can make that kind of connection. At the very best, we can make that kind of connection. Sometimes music can take people out of the darkness. And sometimes for me, playing music can take me out of my own darkness. Mm. You know.
Now, you're coming over to the UK. Are you doing anything in Northern Ireland? Have you been to Belfast? And
we're doing the Limerick Festival, I believe it's on September 29th. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, to coming to Ireland. Once again, I have to say I'm disappointed because I really need to spend a month in Ireland. It's where my ancestors are from.
Oh,
and
really?
I've been to Ireland twice before to the Cork Festival, and it's been quickly in and quickly out. And but I'm looking forward to going. I'm just disappointed it's going to be another short trip. And then I'll be straight to London from there to do two nights at Pizza on Dean Street. So I'm really excited to play London with this band.
Brilliant. And how long will you stay on the road with the band before you will sort of splinter off and do other things? Will there be a part three for this band?
We're doing dates in the U.S. again in the spring.
Okay,
we're only doing
good.
These three dates in the U.K., and then I stay in the U.K. to do a few more things and some teaching, and teaching at the Royal Academy, so I'll be doing that and going up to Glasgow to teach a master class. And then in the spring, the band is getting back together for some U.S. dates.
Great. When you say teaching, I mean, Vibes, someone was asking me about booking a Vibes play the other day, and I could think of perhaps two that I know. I'm sure there's many more, but are there many more? And is it an instrument that is getting wider recognition? How many sort of people in your masterclasses?
Well, that's a great question, Claire, because I think the vibraphone is really, it's amazing. It's experiencing... I'm not even going to call it a resurgence because it's never. I think a precedent is being set now with how many really good young Vibes players are.
Great.
who really operate and function on the level of the best pianists and saxophone players and trumpet players. There was a time when the vibraphone was sort of not taken seriously because there weren't that many practitioners that were really playing the music on the highest level. Mm. But now, you know, with people like Warren Wolf and Jim Hart.
Jim Hart was one of the people I thought of.
He's one of my favorite Vibes players, Anthony Kerr, and people like this who are just playing on the highest level. The vibraphone is experiencing a real kind of renaissance. I don't know what the word to describe it is, but and I find myself with more and more really precocious students. I'm leaving for Australia next week. To teach the first annual All Things Vibraphone Summit meeting in Canberra, Australia.
Gosh.
So we'll see. I'm going to find some great players there, I'm sure.
And do you say to them to make sure you've got good chiropractic, because lugging this stuff up and down flights of stairs, I mean, it's such a cumbersome instrument, isn't it? I mean, you have to have an army of people every time you go out on the road. How does it work for you now? You're famous, Joe Locke, but do you have roadies? I mean, it's a big old thing to carry around, isn't it?
Well,
do you think that puts people off?
I think it does, and well should. I think I'm fortunate most of the time that there's a frame waiting for me when I show up at right. whatever venue I'm playing at. But I remember years ago, I said to Bobby Hutcherson, you know, I can't wait till I get to your point, you know, to your kind of level of a career, and I have a roadie. And Bobby looked at me and said, "What roadie?" So.
Well, just a joy to watch. You're full of life. You're just effervescent. And this is a most amazing CD. I've been listening to it nonstop for 2 days. And yesterday I listened to it in a blustery Brighton day, and it was perfect music for the weather we were having. And let's play a track out. Would you like to choose it?
Oh, I would like it if you would play Her Sanctuary, because that's one of my favorites on the record.
And a really fantastic solo for Jeffrey Keyser here, and he really just is explosive throughout. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, and I'll see you at the Pizza Express.
Thank you, Claire. I can't wait to see you and give you a big hug, sweetie.
Oh,
I miss you.
Oh, yeah, I miss you too. Thank you.
vibraphone of Joe Locke, the piano of Jeffrey Keyser, and a piece called Her Sanctuary, taken from their latest album, Signing. Joining them were Mike Pope and Terrian Gully on electric bass and drums. And my thanks to Claire Martin for that interview with Joe Locke. And Joe will be on tour from September into October, playing the Limerick Jazz Festival in Ireland on September the 29th. He plays London's Pizza Express Jazz Club on September the 30th and October the 1st. And he'll be in London for a few more days at the Royal Academy of Music. He then moves on to Brighton and plays The Verdict on October the 7th. Then in Glasgow, he plays the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland on October the 12th. There'll be a masterclass and concert with the Tommy Smith Quartet. So check out Joe Locke's link on the Jazz Lineup webpage for more information. Well, that's almost it for today's edition of the show. And next week, Claire Martin presents an interview with Django Bates. And singer Georgia Mancio will be here to talk about her Revoice Festival. We finish tonight with bassist Avishai Cohen, who will be visiting the esteemed Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London from October the 15th to 17th. So, some music from his latest release, which is a duet with pianist Nitai Hershkovitz. And this is Signature. From me, Julian Joseph, till next time, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. The piano for this opening couple of hours. Among the pianists, Clara Haskell playing Mozart, Pascal Roger in Saint-Saëns Fifth Piano Concerto, Debussy in Debussy. And first of all here, Poulenc's concerto for two pianos. Poulenc's use of Balinese gamelan in the piece, the concertos from 1932, predates Benjamin Britten's explorations of gamelan by about a quarter of a century. But then I suppose you could say Debussy got there first. This opening is in what's called gong cabiar style, a style which starts a piece with an explosive attack. Katia and Marielle Lebec are the pianists, with Jiří Bělohlávek conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Thank you.